Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, it's been rocking and rolling over here on the due time with Pastor Steph. We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our due time crew, and we continued our conversation about losing your identity in a relationship, losing yourself in a relationship. It does not have to come to that. No. You know, we talked about neglecting your alone time. Everybody needs alone time. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are, where you live, what you do. Everybody needs a little alone time. And when that alone time gets infused into we time, then you lose yourself. Yes, absolutely. There's no way in the world you're going to be able to function if you never have some me time. Because in that aspect, you won't have any time to also spend with the Lord. But you didn't think about that, did you? All right. Well, we also talked about allowing your individual opinions to fade. You know, where, you know, it's whatever he likes or whatever she likes. Or, you know, somebody asks your opinion and you're off on a tangent. Because you are now siding with everything that he or she said. You don't even share your own opinion. All right? So, you know, those are some of the things we talked about when it comes to losing yourself in a relationship. And we're praying that you, you know, you identify with those little tools that, you know, we gave. And you don't have that issue. Or if you did, you no longer have those issues. Just take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. If, listen, let me say this. If that person was sent from God for you, you would not even have to worry about this issue. Yes, because you could be yourself. You'd be comfortable being yourself, and you wouldn't feel any way about it. So that's the other thing I want you to pay attention to, okay? All right. Well, we could not finish our Monday morning off if we did not get our switch tip. And this week's switch tip was support the weak when it's you. Yeah, we had support the weak last week, and it didn't include you. It was about the other individuals. Well, support the weak when it's you. You know, when you're down and out and you can't figure out what you're going to do, and you know, you're lost and you're confused and all that. Yes, it happens. It happens. You know, don't beat yourself up. Support yourself and take yourself to the Lord. Every time you feel that way, just go back to the Lord. That's the way you support yourself. Encourage yourself. Read that word of God and make it applicable to you. That's how we, you know, that's how we get the job done. So make sure you support the week when it's you. All right. Well, we moved on down to Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day, and we had a wonderful Church Folk Day. We had Girls Edition of Church Folk Day, our Pastor Sharon, our girl Tamika, and Shantice joined the conversation, and we got to talking about the fact that up to 17 cities have now added a policy that said you cannot feed the homeless openly if you don't have a permit. So in other words, you know, we set up outside in front of the church house or maybe in front of the building or on the corner. We put the table out and get that good Thanksgiving dinner out there so that the homeless people can enjoy. No, no. They are officially killing that process. And, you know, we paired it up to what the Lord said. What did the Lord say about feeding the hungry? Well, we have a mandate that says we should. So, you know, we got to talking and we started opening up the floor to different ideas as to how you can actually get this commission done without necessarily breaking the law. And I would advise you to go back and listen if nothing comes to your mind, okay? All right. Well, Wednesday rolls around. And for our Wow Wednesday opener with our girl Vivian with the socially conscious segment, all she talked about the schools closing because of the influx of COVID infections. Yay. Yay. You know, what are you going to do? You got people coming into the school, and what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Yeah, so they close the school, and from what I understand as an extension to that, some schools are not opening immediately after the new year. You know how normally they go back like the second or the third or whatever the date is. Well, of some schools are opening 2 weeks after. Well, I would say that's a smart move because if you get COVID, they always tell you to quarantine in between 10 and 14 days. So there you have it. You should be quarantined for them 10 to 14 days. So all the schools really need to implement that rule, and let's see if they jump on board. Okay. Well, Vivian also gave us the story of four USPS workers who were doing a crime ring to the tune of $750,000. Yeah, they were doing this identity theft scheme and scam. And oh my goodness gracious, that's a $750,000. Well, they're caught. Yay! Enough is enough of this nonsense of ripping people off. Go get a job. Well, here's the funny part. They had one. And that's how they decided to handle the blessing that God had given them. Well, we had the ladies drop by again on their Wow Wednesday morning. And we talked out what we talked about, you know, what it would mean to stay hungry for God. You know, this is our part two of our conversation as well, and we talked about being grounded in the fear of the Lord. We're not talking about shivering in our boots because God is not that kind of God, but having that reverent fear of the Lord. Oh, one of my favorites, making those simple adjustments. Ooh, making those simple adjustments. Yeah. You know, I always like to say everybody wants to, you know, get themselves together before they step up into the church house. Well, how are you going to do that? I don't know. Because unless you make the simple adjustment like going to church, you probably won't make a lot of the improvement that you think you would. So, I'm sorry. Hate to burst your bubble. But listen, those simple adjustments will get the job done. And we end it off with prayer. Oh, we always talk about prayer as a key. The enemy's trying to steal the show. Well, it's not happening because God is going to allow me to get back on. So we were talking about prayer. See what happens? You talk about prayer and the enemy goes, swoop. Well, staying hungry for God. There's no other way you're going to stay hungry for God if you have no prayer life. It's not happening. It's not happening. Oh, no. Therapeutic Thursday rolled around. And oh my, we talked about the millennials stating why they don't want to have children. And one of the reasons they gave is because it's just not financially feasible. You know, no, it ain't when you want to get hair, nails done, and party, and as Shanti says, popping them bottles. No, you can't do that and raise kids. Don't listen. It's not going to happen, okay? They say that some are fearful of passing down mental health issues. Well, it's real. It's real. You know, genetically, there are mental health issues that do get passed down, and yes, you need to be very, very concerned about that. Well, one of the other things that came up was the world is not a nice place. The world isn't always a nice place. Now, we got into a deep conversation about that one. We got into a few conversations about all of them. Yesterday was a really good conversation, and the panel was split. And I love when the panel split because it gives you listeners something to think about. You know, gives you a perspective on both sides of the fence. And, yeah. So we know that the world isn't always a nice place, and, you know, one of the arguments raised is that the world has not been a nice place for us on this side of the fence. Well, I want to make sure I say to you all, we weren't talking about this side of the fence. We're talking about the world in its totality. And this world is going to hell quickly. And now, I surely would not want to bring a child into this world right about now. Because what are they going to be faced with? What am I going to be faced with as a parent? So you know what? The millennials have a good frame of mind as they are understanding who they are. And you know what? If they don't want to deal with life, as some millennials don't, then you know what? It's better that you don't bring a child here. So listen, I applaud them. I applaud them for being honest. I applaud them for being open. I applaud them for taking a stand. And we had a good time with that conversation. So here we are today, Freestyle Friday. It is the end of the week. God has graciously brought us through to the end of the week. And what can we say that would let God know how grateful we are for being on this side of the fence? I don't know, other than thank you and giving him your life. Yeah, you know, thanking is a small thing when you compare it to your lifestyle. So in other words, you can't say thank you but live contrary to the word of God. Oh, don't work. Sorry. doesn't work. You're going to have to make sure that that thank you is accompanied with you following God's word to the letter. Yes, to the letter. To the letter. You can't, you know, skirt around. You can't, you know, do a little bit of this and do a little bit of that. No, can't do it. It's all or nothing. You know, the Bible tells us that you can't serve two masters. And, you know, that's one of the things I thought about when we went over yesterday when it said that the millennials said that, you know, it's not always financially it's not financially feasible to have kids. And, you know, I thought about, no, but when you want to live life, you know, you can't live your life the way you want to live it freely as though you have no children here. You know, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve, you know, want to serve your life in the world and enjoy your life in the world and party and cut up, but yet be a good parent. No, it doesn't work because somebody will suffer. You will suffer or your child will suffer. Well, that's the way I'm talking about serving two masters with God. You know, are you going to do what God says do? Or are you going to try to straddle the fence? Because that's not doable. Because God says you will end up loving one and hating the other. Oh, man. Well, listen, I got a whole lot of stuff I want to talk about today. Will I even have time to listen to the men? Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to hearing from the men today. And like I said, I got some stuff to talk about. So get those pens together with that paper and get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. All right? We'll be right back.
Preventing type 2 diabetes is easier when you have the encouragement and support of others. That's why the CDC-led National Diabetes Prevention Program's Lifestyle Change Program works so well.
Your support group is probably the biggest help. They keep you motivated. And what I enjoyed most was the way I felt when I finished the class.
Being in the class and having the support of people who are in the same predicament as I was really helped a lot.
What's really powerful in the program is when participants are able to connect with one another, to share ideas, to problem solve, to support one another. And many of those relationships continue outside of the group and beyond the program.
Type 2 diabetes can be prevented. Learn how being a part of a community with similar challenges and goals can help you succeed. Visit www.cdc.gov/prevent type 2.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Freestyle Friday over here on the Two Time with Pastor Steph. Woo! I don't know about you, but I, for one, am extremely happy that we made it. We made it. We made it. By the grace of God, we made it. No matter how we're feeling, no matter what's going on in our lives, we made it. All right, get those pens up. I got a lot of stuff to give you today. All right, all righty. Come on, come on, let's go. Well, today we're talking about ginger tea and the benefits of drinking ginger tea. Okay, all right. Well, we all know what ginger is, right? That little ginger root, that brown ginger root. And we get it from the supermarket, and it has all kind of funny shapes to it. Okay, and it's a spice that has been used for many, many years, especially in Asia and the Caribbean. They really, really utilize ginger quite well. And they said that ginger tea is a caffeine-free drink, which we know. And you steep that ginger in water, and it's strong. It's strong. But, man, when I tell you about the benefits, you're going to want to run to get that ginger tea, okay? Well, one of the things that ginger tea is responsible for, it reduces disease risk. Yeah. They say it's rich in antioxidants, and including gingerols and all different types of other components that help combat oxidative stress. And that is related to chronic disease. Yes. Okay. So you want to make sure you get this ginger in you, because they say that it helps to kill off excess cells that are damaged. Okay? So it actually works against what's working on your body. So, you know, if you've got these cells that are damaged and now you need, you know, to catch that cancer before it starts or any other illnesses, ginger is definitely something that helps to fight those cells off. Okay, they also say that ginger tea helps with inflammation. Wow. Okay. They said it helps to nip inflammation in the butt. To make sure, if you've got any inflammation issues, you know, regarding your health, make sure you go after that. Okay? Ginger tea. Well, they say ginger tea also cures nausea. Yeah, they say if you're feeling nauseous, drink a little ginger tea, and it would help to knock out some of that nauseous feeling. All those antioxidants are at work again. And they say that it also helps with indigestion, intestinal cramping, bloating, and gas. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, here's one we know we want to drink some ginger tea for. They say it reduces high blood pressure. Okay. So for those of us who have hypertension, we definitely want to go after that ginger tea, because they say that ginger tea helps the blood vessels. They say high blood pressure damages the walls of the blood vessels, but when you drink the ginger tea, it helps to improve your body. Okay? Wow. I say go running. Go running. Go running for that ginger tea. Go running for the ginger tea. All righty? Okay. Guess what else ginger tea helps with? Blood sugar. We just got finished hearing about type 2 diabetes. And remember, type 2 is controllable. Type 1 is when your body does not produce enough insulin. But type 2 mostly comes with being obese and not eating properly. So if it helps, ginger tea helps to regulate the blood sugar. Yep. Definitely, they say it helps to regulate the blood sugar levels, and it takes charge of that insulin intake. Yeah. Okay. So when you drink the ginger tea, it says it disrupts the insulin production and blood sugar control. Okay. Okay. All right, here we go. Protects brain health. Oh, we just got finished talking yesterday about what we can do, what we can eat to help with our brain health, right, to improve brain health. Well, here we go, ginger tea. They talk about the antioxidants and the anti-inflammatory compounds in ginger. And because of those things, it helps to repair the brain. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm giving you a chance to write this stuff down. I'm speaking a little slowly because, you know, I've always heard of people with this ginger tea or put ginger in this or put ginger in that. And when I came across it, I was like, oh, this is what we need. Well, this is one for me. They say ginger tea helps to reduce pain. Wow. They say chronic inflammation can manifest as pain, including muscle pain and joint pain. But the anti-inflammatory effects of ginger will help ease that pain. Okay? So make sure, they say you drink ginger tea when you're getting those menstrual cramps, when you're going through that pain and osteoarthritis. How about those of you who have migraines? Yeah. They say get that ginger tea. Then get that ginger tea. All righty? So please make sure. You know, you just add it into your diet. Just add it into your diet. Don't go buck wild, because anything overdone is definitely harmful to your health. So just, you know, when you're drinking, you know, that soda, try making some ginger tea and making it cold. That's what I did with the green tea. And I tell you, green tea is my go-to. I've never been a sweet drinker anyway. So for those of you who need a substitute, even if you substitute one time a day, if you, you know, you drink like a lot of sweet stuff, substitute it once a day. Okay? All righty. Well, what news are we going to talk about today? Let me see. I got some options here. And I want to talk about this. Hold on. Well, the people who want to travel this holiday weekend, they say they have shut down so many flights. Yeah. I'm trying to pull up my little article because that was like, they shut down a lot of flights. So if you want to, if you plan on traveling, you better check, because you don't know what in the world is going on. They say that United Airlines shut down 112 flights for today, Christmas Eve. And they said Delta canceled 90 flights. And all of this because of the Omicron virus. And they're saying they're afraid of being a carrier, if you will, of those of that virus. They say that a lot of their staff has been affected by by this illness, and they are not able to come to work. So they're short staffed. And they said they're trying to reach out to people as early as possible to let them know what's going on. But I got to tell you, if somebody's looking to travel, they surely... They're saying, you know, they surely don't want to hear nothing. They surely don't want to hear anything. You know, you got, and they're saying that, hey, you know, we're letting everybody know before you get to the airport. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Renting a car, probably not much of an option either, because the car rentals have gone buck wild. Oh my gosh, buck wild in cost. So, man, you know, I feel for people who really have, you know, their hearts, you know, ready to travel. But I don't know. I don't know. You may have to stay home. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I want to talk about this lady. You know, periodically we talk about these dogs and these pit bulls and these people who have these pit bulls. Well, they say a Wisconsin mother had her arms ripped apart by a pit bull because she was trying to save her four-year-old son. So this 35-year-old woman was attacked when she found the dog attacking the son, the baby. And when she went to protect the son, the dog attacked her. And man, she suffered. She suffered. Now let me tell you how she suffered. Okay, so she was attacked by the dog, right? So the dog attacked her arm, and she had to get 70 stitches. She had to get her arm worked on. You know, they stitched up the arm. They did everything they needed to do. And she ended up suffering kidney failure. And because of that, both her arms had to be amputated. Yes. And, you know, thank God that the baby was not able to, you know, do, you know, he wasn't hurt, you know, to the point that he could, you know, he died or had anything amputated. But he was attacked. The father came in and found her bleeding. And they rushed her to the hospital. And sadly, she died. Sadly, she died. Yeah. After all of that, she ended up dying. But here's the thing I wanted to point out. Because I couldn't figure out. I was looking over the different, the articles. And I was trying to figure out, you know, was it a, you know, sometimes you'll have the vagrant dogs and, just, you know, then the fighting off the dogs that attack your children. No. Her sister said, my sister has the biggest heart for animals and just couldn't get rid of the dog. Her heart was too big and they thought they could fix him. So clearly, this dog had issues from before. Why was there this need to keep this dog? Oh, my gosh. Well, unfortunately, she lost her life. She lost her life to this dog attack. And, you know, we just, it's sad. You know, can you imagine being attacked, having your arms amputated, and then at the end of the day, you lose your life? I just wanted to talk about that today. I don't know. This bothered me. Well, here's what I really want to talk about, because I said I was going to talk about this earlier during the week. All right, so I'm having a problem with this here. All right, so the first story was that I found was of Norwegian and their huge ship, the Breakaway. Okay, well, then it quickly went from Norwegian to Royal Caribbean. But I had also heard that outside of Norwegian, they said that was the Carnival. Carnival had suffered some level of outbreak as well. So I want to start with Norwegian. So Norwegian had 17 people in total with this COVID, with this COVID outbreak. Okay, so it started off as 10, and then it went to 17. And they say there were more than 3,200 people on board. Now, I want to go over something because this is what's been so disturbing to me. So we know that the cruise lines were the first ones to get up and running with the contingency that you were vaccinated. They were not accepting anybody who wasn't vaccinated. Well, how is it that you're the first ones that come up with this, and yet now you're the one who's suffering from this here, okay? Again, they say that it started off with 10 people on the cruise, and then it graduated to 17 individuals. And they say that, you know, they had to be vaccinated. They made sure they checked everybody's vaccination cards before they went to Belize, Honduras, and Mexico. And they left for New Orleans. And during this trip, they found that people were infected. Okay. So then you move over to the story of Royal Caribbean. Now, I got a little confused because when I saw the story about Royal Caribbean, you know, they made their ships similar, okay? So the first one I read about was Odyssey of the Sea. Odyssey of the Sea, they said, set sail from Florida on December 18th with the intent to visit the Caribbean for 8 nights, okay? They say 95% of all the people on board were fully vaccinated. Well, I'm lost. Somebody help me with this. Help me with this. Didn't you just mandate that everybody get on the ship vaccinated and they have their vaccination cards and all of this stuff? Not only that, they have mandated that the crew get tested once a week. So, okay, so let's go back. 95% of all the people on board are fully vaccinated. And they say that not only that, but they have to have their vaccination cards. And they all have to test before they get on there and show a negative test result. Not only that, but the children have to also show a negative test. So they're saying that the crew and the guests who tested positive were either fully vaccinated, were all fully vaccinated and mildly symptomatic or asymptomatic. Well, what happened to the mildly symptomatic? Why are you letting people on who are mildly symptomatic? What kind of negligence is that? Now, no, because you don't want to turn these people back because you've got their money. Oh, well, guess what? They're stuck out at sea. Yes, they are. Remember this happened when we went through this before? They say 55 people have been infected, and not only are they infected, but the docking sites on the islands, they refuse to allow them to dock. That's the same thing that happened before. So what did you do differently? What did you do differently? You let these people on who appeared free of any COVID, and now you've got y'all stuck out at sea because you are infected with 55 people. Now, I mean, when you think of, let's say, over 3,000, 55 is a small amount, but not when it comes to this here disease, because 55 can clearly turn into many, many more. Well, that's not their only problem, Royal Caribbean. Well, they say despite stringent measures, Royal Caribbean's Symphony of the Sea was carrying more than 6,000, oh my God, 6,000 passengers and crew, and they are now up to 48 people who have tested positive. And this is ridiculous. It says again, it said 95% on board were fully vaccinated. And I guess that little 5% were maybe the little kids, the little kids. Maybe that's what we're talking about. I don't know. And they say that on this particular ship, on this particular testing, of the ones who tested positive, 98% were fully vaccinated. Okay. Is that enough to keep you silent? Okay. So they say that, again, Royal Caribbean dictates that all their travelers, even age 12, have to have a full vaccination. So, you know, some of them have two, some of them have one. Well, they supposedly checked and made sure that, you know, those who were supposed to have two had two, those who were supposed to have one had one. They, in other words, they're saying that they did all of their due diligence. Okay? They say that unvaccinated children on board of the Symphony were required to show a negative test prior to departure. So even them, you know, even they were, you know, checked. Okay? So they say that there were some who had mild symptoms and they were quickly quarantined. But they say that's not even good enough because they have not finished doing all of the contact tracing. And they had a very lenient mask rule because they said that being that people were vaccinated, they didn't require them to have masks on because they wanted them to be able to cruise and do whatever they wanted to do and to be free to enjoy their cruise experience. But how negligent are you? How negligent are you? How negligent are you? Man, I'm telling you, this is really troubling. This is really troubling because I'm sorry. The more we look at all of this stuff here, you know, I go back to saying that unfortunately, and I use this word very, very targeted, unfortunately, all of the hype that was put into getting vaccinated has not really proven to be as effective as it has been. Has been given to us. And, you know, again, you know, if you did, you did. If you didn't, you didn't. I'm not here to speak on either side. But what I am saying is, you know, with all of this, stop the spread, slow the spread campaigns that they had, the paying of the people to get it, you know, the encouraging, if you had, a high risk, if you were high risk, go get it. What has it really, in other words, here's what I want to say. Let me rephrase what I was getting ready to say. Has it really made that much of a difference? Now, I heard after a while of people being vaccinated, then it shifted. Well, you know, it went from stop the spread, slow the spread, to, well, you know, they say that if we get it, if we get the vaccination, then if we get COVID, the effect won't be as bad. Okay, I guess that's the way you do the flu shot. You know, I don't really study the flu shot in depthly from what I heard. You know, it's not to prevent you from getting the flu, but it's just, you know, to kind of make milder the effect of the flu in your system, as well as, you know, the the vaccinations from years ago, you know, where we have to put our children in school and get them vaccinated. You know, you don't necessarily not get chicken pox or mumps or something like that, but, you know, if so, it's not that bad, blah, blah, blah. But I'm looking at these people here, you know, and one of the top complaints of these cruise passengers was they said they were just made to feel safe. You know, the cruise lines said that, you know, travel safely and vacation safely, and, you know, there's nothing that you really have to do. You know, you can live life the way you know, you want it and the way you always have. And yeah, well, wow. Well, here's the thing that really made me upset when I read this article. And I'm talking for a reason, what they're saying is, and I want to read it to you. It says that the cruise lines are monitoring developments related to the Omicron variant and remain closely engaged with local and national authorities in the places where cruises sail. The CLIA, which is a cruise line association, said that onboard protocols like testing, vaccination, and mask wearing were designed with variants in mind. The association added that its member cruise lines will continue to take a proactive approach to responding to the pandemic as it develops. Now, they have not stopped any subsequent sales. Any sailings have not been stopped. So what you're ultimately saying is, okay, you know what? We were thinking about the regular COVID, then we thought about the Delta, and we thought about the Omicron, and we thought about this one and that one. And all of these things were in mind when we said about the testing, the vaccination, and the mask wearing. Well, they told the people they didn't have to wear any mask. That's one of the things, and I remember reading that specifically, that they didn't have to mask up because they were vaccinated and they were going to be in an environment where all the people were vaccinated so they could, you know, roam freely. So then now they're saying, oh, well, if you're on an inside, you know, indoor part of the ship, you have to put your mask on. But if you're on the outside part of the ship, you don't have to put your mask on. You know what I say? Don't go on cruise ships. Stay off the cruise ship. It's just not worth it. For those who are vaccinated, put your mask on, for God's sake. So many people have taken their masks off because there's this belief that you are safe and you don't have to worry about it. Well, just all of this stuff is proving that you have to be concerned. Nothing is carefree. Nothing. Nothing is carefree. There is no place that you have to, where you're safe from not having to wear your mask. No. Okay. Now, I got to keep going. All right. So, here's what they said. Testing before boarding is also not a perfect science. There could be people on the boat who are infected and are asymptomatic, but not infectious enough to be picked up on a test at boarding. You could test negative when you get on the boat and subsequently develop an infection. So then why did you tell the people they didn't have to wear their mask? Okay. They also say it's important for people to consider their own personal risk-benefit analysis before getting on a cruise ship. And they say if you've had a booster, the likelihood of you having a severe COVID-19 infection, if you get infected, goes down. In the case of the Omicron variant, cases have mostly been mild so far, but ... we just don't know yet. Man, they say even though the odds of you getting infected when you're fully vaccinated on a fully vaccinated cruise are smallish. They're not zero. That's what this world has presented. The powers that be have presented that very thing. They made you think that you could not get this thing. So now you're shifting. It's smallish, but not zero. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm not being convinced that any of this is valid. None of this is valid. See, this is crazy. Let me talk to my man before I start getting a headache here, because this is negligence. This is straight negligence. They do what they need to do to get your money, and then voila, all of a sudden now they come up with all of this other stuff. You know, oh yeah, well, you can, even though you don't show it, you can get it later on the ship. On the ship, I'm only on the ship for 8 days. But just intermingling with these people who are ill really shows that you're not free, even vaccinated. I'm done. Let me talk to my man. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am okay. Thank you. My body is still not doing that well, but we just keep pressing on. Right, Pastor KL?
We sure do. Take a licking, but keep on ticking.
That's right. How are you feeling today? Are you better?
I'm doing better. You know, God is still good. He's still on the throne.
All righty. Amen. Well, Pastor Kale, we got some stuff to talk about before we get into our conversation. Well, we're talking about the cancellation of all of these flights. You know, one has over 100, the other one has over 99. You know, they have pictures of people at the airport. And, man, oh, man, this is something else. You can now wait till the last minute to start canceling trips.
Right, that's quite scary. And I think, you know, that's really unprofessional, to be honest with you.
Right,
you
right.
know, I mean... If you're gonna, you should be able to look ahead of this stuff. I mean, people didn't get sick today. You know what I mean? They've been sick a week or 3 days, and you should have seen and taken precautions where maybe they may not be back. Especially if we're saying that you know, some folks are getting COVID. Well, if they told you they have COVID, they're not coming back tomorrow. They should have quarantined for at least 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's. That particular flight attendant definitely won't be back. If it's the pilot, right. The pilot won't be back. So, I mean, we should have figured this thing out. Everybody is hurting for people. So, you know, you don't have pilots on the bench just waiting, you know, my turn to fly. You know what I mean? So, at some point, you should have been more proactive than reactive.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's sad also, Pastor Kale, because you knew that they had been predicting that it was going to be risky to travel. So why would you book
right.
all of the flights to begin with? You can, listen,
right.
Are you hearing the numbers? 120 flights for one line and another were 90. How did you possibly book all of these knowing that we're in the thrust of COVID?
Not only that, let's forget about COVID for a minute. Since I travel a lot on the plane, I know that these airlines overbook, first of all. You know, because
right.
a lot of times you don't get your seat, you know, saying, until you get
that's
there.
Right, until,
hoping,
that's right.
You know, and then they call it, you're on standby. Well, when you took my money, I wasn't standing by.
Right.
I was giving it to you right there. You know, so they put you on standby after they have your money. And then you can't be upset about it. Or they try to appease you and say, hey, who wants $200 bonus flights to take another flight?
Right.
No, I want this flight.
Right. I have plans on, you know, moving now. I don't have plans on, I done took off
right.
my job. I done
right.
made plans for the dog. You know, I'm prepared.
right.
You
right.
know, and now you're going to tell me that you don't have room for me. No, let me tell you something. You know what's sad? And we talked about this, Pastor Taylor, a few months ago, of the scams that take place from the huge businesses. You know, we talk about the scams that take place from these little, you know, petty people. But the biggest scams come from these major, major, major businesses. And this airline business, this right here, is a scam, like you're describing.
Mm-hmm. 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 I mean, and it's just not the airlines. You know, my uncle, he went to Florida on the train. And there was a two-hour delay because someone refused to put on a mask. So it took 2 hours. It took 2 hours. Yes, this happened yesterday. And he left from New York, but it took 2 hours for him to leave New York because someone refused to put on the mask. And, of course, you know, they talk about their rights, this, that. Well, you have a right to get off.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it took 2 hours for security or for the police to get there to put that person off. So look how many people got delayed.
Right,
for you trying to prove a point. What point did you prove? Now you've lost your ticket. You lost your money. You can't get on a train no more. You can't get on Amtrak
right.
no more. You,
right.
you know what I mean?
Right.
And if
That's
you're
right.
with your family, you look like an idiot to your children.
Right.
Now you've disappointed their trip.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's really sad. And people are selfish, and they don't care about nobody. And you know, we know somebody who, you know, he brags about, yeah, well, you know, I went to this place and I didn't put on my mask. And I'm like, you're a dope. Because, again, what you're risking your own safety. You know, even if you don't even look at the other stuff, you're risking your own safety. I just got finished reading, and we'll go into this whole thing with the cruise line. But the whole false hope. And the false pretense that I don't have to wear a mask and I have my right, like you said. Now, it has proven to do what? Has proven to infect this world even more than it could have been had you done what you were supposed to do for yourself and other people.
Exactly. Now let's go somewhere else real quick, you know, because everybody is not into the shot. Everybody's not into the vaccination, which is fine. But wearing a mask has nothing to do with you being vaccinated. It's still trying to save you.
That's the point I'm trying to make, Pastor KL. You hit the nail on the head. You're walking around talking about I don't need to wear my mask. I have a right. But what about your own safety? It's proven
right.
that even people who have worn masks have
right.
gotten the COVID. So why would you again, that stupid ignorance that runs through people's heads. That, you know, because they want to do what they want to do. This world does not want to listen to God. This world does not want
right.
to listen to
right.
logic. This world does not want to listen at all. And because of all of this, you're up in arms and you have rights, like you said, with this other gentleman and it was for the train. It's like, you, how many people have died because they said
but
they didn't believe
it? It's just selfish because, yes,
it
you
is.
Have rights. But guess what? Your children have rights. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? They have rights to live. So when you come home because you have rights not to wear a mask, and you come home with that crap, now your children and your loved ones is susceptible. Not only
right.
that, if you die, see, the decisions we make, it's
yep.
just not for us. It comes
yep.
down the line for everybody else. So you die, and now I ain't got no daddy because my daddy had rights.
Right.
You
That's
don't have no husband
true.
Because my husband had rights.
Right.
You know, it's just
true.
Foolish.
It's very true. And how many other people have been infected because of your rights?
Right.
How many homes
exactly.
have been infected? Like you said, it's not just about you. How many homes have been infected? How many children, innocent children, have lost their lives because somebody had a right? So, no, it has nothing to do with your rights. It has something to do with just being logical. And just making, just being on this, air on the side of safety. Right. To me, it should be nothing wrong with that, nothing more than that. Just err on the side of safety and call it a day. All right, Pastor KL, we're talking about this conversation we have from time to time about these people and these pit bulls. Oh, my gosh. How you had to save your four-year-old. Was it a four-year-old? Yeah, four-year-old. And you had to have your arms amputated. And then ultimately, because of a kidney malfunction, you lost your life. You know, and the sister is saying, you know, hey, you know, her heart was too big. She thought she could fix the dog, and now this is what happens. She wouldn't get rid of the dog, and this is subsequently the result.
Yeah, you know, I say this all the time. My grandmother always told me, when somebody shows you themselves, believe it. Pit bulls have often, 9 out of 10 times, showed you themselves. They are bred this way. Listen, you don't have to train a pit bull to kill you. That's how they grow up. I mean, that is already in their DNA. They have the mechanism of lockjaw. You don't have to teach this dog how to do this. This, just like a porcupine, he sticks up his needles. You don't have to teach the porcupine to do that. This is what the pit bull does. So it behooves me that you would want this dog around children anyway. First of all, it behooves me that you want this dog. And I'm an animal lover. I have dogs. But this animal is dangerous. It's like a snake. Listen, no matter how many times you carry the snake and take pictures, the snake is always going to be a snake. And eventually, at some point, you're going to get bit. Trust me, I used to raise snakes. A snake is always going to be a snake. A pit bull is always going to be a pit bull.
Terrible. And, you know, you're absolutely right. We have not really seen much of anything else from these dogs. And you know, you can't blame them because they are who they are. But
right.
They're not family dogs. And I don't understand it. They're not family dogs. They're not the Chihuahua. They're not the one you put in your pocketbook. They are not family dogs. And most times, they go after the child, and because they go after the child, somebody else ends up being harmed because they have to get the dog off the child. So it's like, why do you insist on thinking you are going to be different? Why? I don't understand.
First of all, to clear that, you know, the dog is a dog, and the child is a child. The child children don't respect animals. They don't know how to respect animals. You know, until later on in life. So the children pulling the tail, pulling the ear, slapping the dog, and the dog is a dog. He is an animal, so he defends himself. So he thinks that he's being attacked, not realizing that this is just a little child. And the child is not realizing that this dog can eat me. So this is a bad combination altogether. Who thought of this idea?
Right. And that's why I say this is not a family dog. A pit bull is family dog. It's not the dog that, you know, you heard of years and decades ago, you know, where you could, you know, have the dog in your house and, you know, you didn't have to worry about anything. It is what it is. Like you said, you know, it's two different dynamics. Everything is not meant to be integrated. And pit bulls and families are not meant to be integrated. And I'm trying to figure out, at what point are people going to see this? I don't know. I don't know, Pastor Taylor. I don't know. But I'm going to put a pause here before I go into the other conversation. Let's talk to Brother Al this morning. Let's say good morning. Where's Brother Al? Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chickity chop, and one more chop again of the morning. Oh, yeah. How you doing, Pastor?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. Always looking forward to that chickity chop. Oh, we're talking about the airlines who booked so many flights that they canceled over 100 on one airline, over about 90 on the other. And now all these people are stuck for not traveling. and at the last minute.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I don't know why people are surprised. This whole thing is nothing about money, what I've been saying since this corona thing started. The people don't care. All they care about is that money. Now, you know, okay, this person tests positive. You know they got a quarantine. Why would you still book the flight? They figure, you know what, let's book this flight. If people get here, we'll figure out something. You know, maybe the porter who cleans the plane can fly the plane. You know, that's what they did. They don't care. They right. don't care. All they see is that money. And you know what? We got the money. We get these people here. We'll figure it out.
Absolutely. And like you both have said, you know, and I agree, when I was reading, I was like, this is such negligence on the part of, you know, the airline, because you know these people did not book these flights no way in advance. You knew that
right.
that, and as not only that, but as your staff started dwindling, you should have started canceling from then. Why all of a sudden you just gonna bust out and cancel over 100 flights? Is there that much air space? I was like, oh my god, over 100.
Yeah, that's crazy.
How many planes are in the air at one time?
No, that is insane right there. Insane.
Over
like you said, they don't care.
Right. I'm like, you would have to cancel. Listen, we only got 24 hours in a day, Brother Al. You canceled
right.
over 100 flights or over 90 flights in one day. For one day?
Yeah. That sounds like a record. That sounds like a record right there.
Oh, my God.
They broke a record.
Oh, my gosh, Brother Al. That is just scary. It's scary. So you know what?
Yes.
You know how God is moving. You know what? Maybe y'all need to ground some of this stuff, because that's less traffic and there's more safety. Because I can't imagine it in a million years. Oh, all right. You and I and the Utah crew have spoken about this before, but we're talking about this pit bull who attacks the son, then the mom, and our mom is dead because she, you know, she had to have this dog in her house. She had to fix, she thought she could fix the dog. What is going on that we can't seem to get this together, Brother?
Well, first and foremost is what you've been saying the whole time. Pit bulls are not family pets. That's number one. And if you're going to have a pit bull, you should know a lot about it. Like, I always been terrified of pit bulls. So, you know, I read up on certain things, and when a pit bull bites you, that's 235 pounds of pressure that they lock their jaw on, all right? Now, in order to break it, it can be broken, but you have to know what to do. Two effective ways that they say to break it is to grab the dog collar and twist it as tight as you can. Now, what you're doing is you're cutting off the air circulation, and the dog is going to let go. Or you grab the tail and pull it backwards, and they let go. So those are things you need to know if you're going to have this type of animal. And number one, she already was having issues with this dog. So why would you even have your family around the person? If that's the case, the dog should have been put in a cage until people left, and then you deal with it yourself. Now you got somebody who lost their life. The dog attacked the child, so I'm quite sure the child is hurt as well. And now the mom lost her life. Like, come on, that's insane.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you gave us those tips. Thank you. Twist the collar, pull the tail. All right. I won't ever forget that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
twist that collar, baby. Stop breathing. You're going to let go there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did hear before of the pressure of that jaw. And like Pastor KL said, you know, it's equivalent to what they consider to be lockjaw. And do you really want to continue with something of that magnitude? That's crazy.
Right.
I don't think you want to. All right, gentlemen, we are talking about these cruise lines and all of the supposed precautions that have been taken to ensure that the passengers have a safe and enjoyable time, and now three, at least three. Well, I'm still trying to find my Carnival because that was the first one that I read ultimately, but Norwegian and two of the Royal Caribbean ships have become infected. And what with all the precautions going on, what's your thought, Brother Al? How do we get here? You're still stuck at sea, despite the fact that you've got all these precautions going on.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know how I've been feeling about this virus thing from the beginning and this vaccination, man. Okay, now you tell me, before I come to this ship, I have to present a negative test, right? Now, if you do the test correctly, when you get tested, you have to wait 2 to 3 days for a result. So if the ship is leaving on Friday and I get tested Monday, I'm getting my results back Wednesday or Thursday. Okay. By that time, I could have been in contact with somebody who already had it.
Right.
So now I'm coming to you, showing you a negative, and I already been messed around and been in contact with somebody, and now I'm bringing it on the ship. Again, yep. It comes down to these people do not care about you. All they care about is this money. You know, I'm looking at them with this vaccine. It's just like, I didn't get into so many debates, and I shut everybody down because they can't answer none of my questions. I'm like, just answer my questions. One of my things is, when they came out, what was their slogan? Get vaccinated and stop the spread. That ain't work. Get vaccinated, slow the spread. That ain't work. Oh, you get vaccinated, you won't die. That ain't work, because I know some people who are fully vaccinated and die. You know, not one time do they say, use what God already gave us, our immune system. Strengthen your immune system. Work on your immune system. You haven't heard that not one time. Because this right here is not working. I'm looking at the TV with the game. All NBA players are vaccinated. The Nets whole team is shut down. So what is it doing? It's not causing a shift. It's not causing a shift at all. So why are we getting this? Why are you forcing people to get it? They don't care about nothing but the money. And people are going to see that sooner or later. People's eyes are starting to open now. And you know what's so crazy, Pastor Steph? One of the crazy things about this is that when it first started, you had the vaccinated versus the non-vaccinated, right? Now, these people that are vaccinated, they're strong about it. Oh, I've heard people, because you're an idiot for not getting vaccinated. It stops this, blah, 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 blah. And then, now that they come and saying, oh, yeah, now your kids got to get vaccinated. Them same vaccinated people, well, I don't know about my kids getting vaccinated. Hold up. You were just strong on it. Why your kids shouldn't get vaccinated? I'm seeing it in school where this lady, oh, my God, she was insane. Oh, the teacher's got to be vaccinated. Oh, she going in. Now that they said, now the kids got to be vaccinated, well, I don't know about my child getting vaccinated. Wait a minute. You just came up to the school and called the records. Why your child shouldn't get vaccinated? Oh, I don't trust my child getting vaccinated. Oh, my God. Which one? What side are you on? There it is. Serving two masters. What side are you on? I'm telling you, Pastor Steph, it's insane. It's insane.
Well, you know, I'm actually glad that, you know, there is some hesitancy when it comes to these children, because the fact of the matter is, you know, our children are still, their bodies are still developing. And no, I don't care what anyone says. Okay, so you may have given 15 reasons why this vaccination, Brother Al, has been good for adults. Okay, so if you want to settle there, you know, so be it. Like I said, I don't beat any side up. However, these children, you could not have done enough research to put this stuff into our children's bodies and for there not to be a possible reverberation. I'm not saying that there is, because I can't speak for that. I'm you know, God didn't give me that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is our children's bodies are still in the developmental stage, and we don't know what will happen. You know, we're grown people. We either going to be sick or we're not going to be sick. Mm-hmm. You know, we develop new things or whatever, but again, like you were saying, you know, we built our immune systems or we haven't, you know, so it's one thing. But when you're talking about putting stuff into our babies, I'm like, oh my God. And now that you're mandating that the children be vaccinated in order for them to go around and to be in contact, This here is dangerous. It's really dangerous.
Oh yeah.
And as crazy as it sounds, I understand what your point is. As crazy as it sounds that you are so strong on, you know, adults getting vaccinated, but at the sound of the children, I'm happy. I'm personally happy because my thing is, you know, we're all of this shouting, jumping up and down about how the kids are infecting people and all kind of things. And it could be true. I'm not saying it's not. But, again, to put this stuff into these kids' bodies, that's a real risk we don't know about.
Right. And let me tell you this, Pastor Steph. In the school, and I think Vivian working in the school as well, you can ask her, social distance does not exist in the school. Do you know my voice is sore now? I keep telling these kids, yo, stop touching. Stay apart. We got to track social distance. It don't exist in the school, so they so happy to see their friends, they playing, they grabbing each other all day long, Pastor Steph. I'm like, stop touching them. Get off of him. Stay 6 feet. It don't exist in the school.
No. Listen, Brother Al, it doesn't exist with adults. You know children.
Exactly.
First of all, you know, I remember when it first came out, they took the toys out of the school, out of the daycares, because they were saying, you know, you touch and infect and things like that. But like you said, because children, you know, they're just prone to do things. I can imagine what these guys must go through all day with the don't do this and don't do that, stay apart, do this, do that.
Oh, my gosh.
It has to be difficult. And I feel bad for them because this is what they have to go through. But like you said, you know, to stop that is almost impossible. So I definitely can't believe that. Let me jump. Let's converse with Pastor KL, Brother Al, and see what he says about this cruise thing. Pastor KL, you know, the cruise lines have taken all this precaution. All got to be vaccinated and got this, got that. Our people are vaccinated, blah, blah, blah. And look at what's happening now. We are now back to where we were last year when the ships were stranded at sea and nobody would let them dock. So now you stuck out here again, and now they're backpedaling. Oh, well, you know, if you do this, it's a smallish, not zero. What? What is going on?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I remember when them ships was out there and ran out of food and they had to send down Vienna sausages. I'd have been mad. That was just crazy. It was just crazy, you know. But I would say, you know, to Brother Al's point, if he was saying that it takes 3 days to get a result, there's something that is called rapid testing, and it only takes a few hours to get the result. So it doesn't take 3 days anymore. It takes just a few hours and you get a result. So if you had to go somewhere like a trip and prove that, you know, you were negative or whatever, it can be done.
I'm sorry
to cut in on that. From the clinical study, is that test is not as accurate. You can look that up. That test, that few hour test, is not as accurate as the other one. That's why a lot of people don't do it.
Okay, but I have a question, gentlemen. This here about, you know, what the medical you know, people are saying about the vaccination. And remember now, these people are getting vaccinated. Now you're supposed to have your vaccine, and they're saying that when you get tested right before you get on, they just got finished saying that, hey, you know, it's not all that accurate. And which now lends to believe that instantaneous test may not be as accurate. Because my thing is, okay, for vaccinated people, how in the world are you saying that all these people are vaccinated? You're making sure they get a test at boarding. Okay? Here's what he says. There could be people on the boat who were infected and were asymptomatic but not infectious enough to be picked up on a test at boarding. You could test negative when you get on the boat and subsequently develop an infection. So this is helping me to believe that even with this rapid test, that it's not as accurate, you know, that maybe something needs to be done with, or something will surface within those 3 days. You follow what I'm saying, Pastor Tail? Yes, they do have the rapid test, because if we go to the emergency room, they're giving you the rapid test because you're not waiting 3 days, pretty much. They're telling you right then and there, you know. So, again, I'm not saying that the rapid test is not effective. What I'm saying is that could there be some holes in that where certain things would not surface in an hour, you know, 2 hours?
Right. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, I definitely follow. This is a touchy conversation for everyone, because it's definitely, you know, debatable, especially depending on what side of the fence, not color, but what side of the fence you're on, whether you pro or you con. You understand what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, this is definitely debatable.
Well, here's why I'm in an uproar. Like I said, you know, I've never weighed in on people who do or people who don't. I just never did. And I felt that was not my place, because it has to be an individual decision. Because what's good for one, it's not necessarily good for others. You know, you've had doctors that have told people, because of your underlying illnesses, don't take the vaccine. You've had others who have said, because of your underlying illnesses, you need to take the vaccine. So right there, there's differing, you know, there's a difference in opinion and thought and blah, blah, blah. So I've stayed neutral. Here's why I'm in an uproar. Because again, here we go with the scam. You take all these people, there were 6,000 people on this one cruise ship. And you now backpedal and say, oh, well, you know, if you test, you know, we do test before you get on. But if you test, it may not show up. You didn't tell that to these people.
Right.
You let them believe. You told them. You gave them this confidence that when you get on. Because I remember, I don't know if you saw the pictures, guys, when they first started with this vaccination thing for the cruise lines, they showed the people all there without masks. And they said, oh, you can, you know, cruise and vacation, and you don't have to wear anything because everybody's vaccinated. So now you gave all these people false hope because you wanted their money.
Right.
You wanted their money.
And not only that, you get stuck. You didn't give them total direction. I mean, you got to wear the
Absolutely.
Mask on ship, but you don't have to wear the mask when you dock. Then what's the point?
So we take the mask off
at dock, and we get COVID, and then we put the mask back on because it's come back on the ship.
And then we could take it off on the ship as long as we're outside, but if we're on the inside, we have to put it on. Because initially,
right.
that was not the rule. The rule was not you had to put it. It was mask-free vacationing. And that's why I'm bringing this to the surface today. Not whether you should be vaccinated or you shouldn't, but because the presentation and the lack of information has gone into all of this, and now people are subsequently ill. And if there's 55 on this ship, how many other people are really infected? Because just like you said, you got off the ship at one point. You want some people going home. They don't have that, you know, they ain't going to test positive. So this is going to be a big mess, a bigger mess at the end of the day. Really a big mess. Oh, I tell you, you know, we talked about the scam of the major corporations and people like this. And, you know, I want to talk about just the trusting of God. You know, how does this play into this entire dynamic of, you know, you're sick, you know, because I still believe that there are people who, you know, they say that you have false reads. You have some people who test positive who are not. You have some people who test negative and they're not. So you still have false reads. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, trusting God, and here's what I mean when I say trusting God, gentlemen. I'm talking about trusting God across the board. Trusting God when you're shopping. trusting God when you are choosing to vacation. Let's break this down. Let's talk about trusting God when you're shopping. Let's say food shopping. How can you trust God when you're food shopping? What things do you need to focus on, you know, when you're food shopping, Brother Al?
Well, the first thing I do before I go into the store is pray and ask God to cover me. Cover those who are in the store as well. And just trusting that, you know, once I do that prayer, I'm feeling good. You know, I say, hey, God got me covered. So I'm going in the store, you know, looking at the surroundings of me, who's wearing masks, who's not. If I see this aisle right here and there's about 5-6 people in there that don't have a mask, I go to the next aisle, wait till they leave, you know, come back. Looking at the food, making sure that, you know, what food I buy is not open, it's been open or tampered with. So, you know, once I pray, I feel comfortable. You know, because I feel that, you know, God is going to cover me. He got me covered.
All right. Pastor KL, you know, when we're doing food shopping, you know, we're talking about praying and trusting God for every aspect of our lives. When we're food shopping, you know, what should we be trusting God for? What should we be praying for?
Well, first of all, I want to pray that there's no old meat over there because I don't want to, you know, hurt myself from old stuff. But, I mean, we every day that you wake up, God wakes you up with purpose, you know, with purpose. You know, he said that I come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. So you need to believe that he's going to cover you. Just because he woke you up, he covered you all through the night. So he doesn't want no hurt, harm, and danger to come nigh your dwelling. So you just need to believe that wherever he orders your steps, if he orders your steps to go grocery shopping, then that's where you go. He's not going to send you to a place without equipping you, without covering you, without making a way of escape.
Okay, so now that all that's been said, thank you, can we help them understand what to pray for when they go food shopping, please?
What the? Wow, I thought I explained that. Okay.
No,
we're
going to
pray
that he's going to
cover us while we're shopping, that nothing is going to hurt or harm us.
It's too generic, Pastor KL. I'm getting ready to break down several areas. We talked about vacationing, and I'm trying to help these listeners understand, you know, when we get up in the morning, yes, you're absolutely right. We can pray an open prayer. God, please order my steps. God, please cover me. God, I'm trusting that you're covering me. What I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to go into a more targeted prayer area where we're not just walking up in the store, because there are things that are Vivian, for the past few months, Vivian has been bringing to us on the Socially Conscious segment the food that's been recalled, stuff that we eat, onions, for God's sake, are on recall. Do we even know when we pick up a brown bag of onions that we do? Have we ever looked at the make or the manufacturer or the company that makes the brown onion bag or the onions in the brown bag? We do need to have targeted prayer when we go into these different areas of our life. And yes, you're absolutely right when we're saying, God, cover me, God, be with me, God, watch over me, God, order my steps. Yes, I'm trying to just extract something a little more detailed today that I think for people who just get up and they just say, God, cover me, that's it. No, our day has to be covered in prayer in every aspect of our life. When I'm praying, when I want to go on vacation, there's a prayer that goes into that vacation. Not the generic prayer that says, God, cover me, but the precise and targeted prayer. So can you help us with that today?
Yes.
Thank you
well,
so much. I know you could.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, on this side, you know, like I don't know if you knew. Well, it's probably not in New York, but here, honey wheat bread has been recalled. You know, so yeah, honey wheat bread. Honey bread and honey wheat bread.
has been recalled. So, you know, and there's a lot of stores that still have it on the shelf. You know, so you have to pray, you know, that God gives you the insight before you pick up the wrong product. You know, a lot of times in supermarkets, not sure if people know, that they rewrap meat after the extended date.
Yes, they do.
So
they
do. And then what they do is they lower the price thinking that you're going to get a deal, but it's already too old. So, you know, these are some of the things that you got to pray for, the insight to know what's going to be good for you, what's going to be good for your family. You know, because, you know, you can get a lot of stuff that's molded. You know, there's a lot of folks who don't rotate their groceries. So they get new groceries and they put it right in front of the old groceries. And now when you get to the old groceries, because like a holiday like this, it's so much stuff selling. Now the stuff that's in the back is expired. And we don't look at expiration date. You know, we don't look at that. We just pick up that this is what we like. So this is what we're going to pick up. And then by the time, and then even as we open it at the house, we're still not looking at it. We don't realize that it's old until after we got sick, and then we go back to look for the wrapper. So, you know, we pray that God gives us insight, you know, as to what to buy, you know, when to buy it, how to buy it, how much of it to buy.
And that's what I'm talking about, Pastor Kale. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. You know, it's an educated one that learns that, you know, I've had to teach my girls, I don't care how fresh this meat looks. One of the key things, how many times I've bought from a reputable, huge meat warehouse, I get home and my meat is smelling. And I'm like, yo, I just bought this. And like you said, it's dated, X, Y, and Z. It looks great behind the clear plastic. But when I get home, it has an aroma to it. That definitely. So now when we go into the store, we pop the meat. You got a problem with me popping the meat? Well, I'm sorry. But if I pop this meat and this meat is good, I'm buying it. If I pop the meat and the meat is bad, then ain't nobody else going to buy it because it's already popped and I didn't already open it up. So, oh, well, you out of luck. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, this stuff is learned behavior. This stuff is learned experience. I've asked other people, you know, do you pop your meat? And they was like, no. And I'm like, try. And they was like, wait a minute, you're right. Because I have gotten home and my meat has been spoiled. Yeah, well, we're going to leave that meat right at the store. Because you know how many times I had to turn around and go back to the store? Because my meat wasn't fresh. So you're absolutely right. You know, when you go in the store, make sure you shop a certain way. But the only way we can get that is when we ask God for insight. So that's exactly what I'm talking about, Pastor Kale. Let's talk about this vacationing. Let's talk about praying as we plan our vacation. Brother Al, what are we covering in our prayer? What are we asking God's guidance for when we're planning a vacation?
Oh, we definitely, I would say, ask for traveling mercy. No more traveling mercy and safety. With me, when I go on vacation and stuff like that, I don't just pray for me. I pray for everybody who's going to be on that trip as well to be careful, to have fun, but clean fun, you know, to... I'm looking for this word. I can't think of the word I'm looking for right now. But you know, to be safe, have clean fun, be safe, and travel in mercy. You know, people to get along together. You know, covering the food. You know, the food down the places that we're going that is safe. That the rooms that I'm in is clean, and the people that's taking care of the food in the room are clean and safe. So those are the type of thing I pray for.
All righty. Come on, Pastor KL. You're going on vacation, and, you know, you're going to ask God for coverage, and you're trusting God for what?
Well, I think before I even go, I'm going to trust God that he gives me a destination. You know, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of places we as a couple or we as a family wants to go, but that's not the place to, it's not the season for that place for us to go. So sometimes you got to ask God for direction on where to go, you know, because you might want to go to Disney, but the numbers are high in COVID. So So that might not be the place for you to take your family. You know, so one of the biggest things is for direction, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, as you make that plan, as God gives you where to go, then, of course, we're going to pray for traveling mercies, you know, that no hurt, harm, or danger come nigh our dwelling, that we make it there, we make it back, that the way we left our house is the way that we shall return and see it. You know, all of these things are important. You know, sometimes we leave the house and we never cover the house, you know, and then when we come back, you know, we wonder why the house got broken into. Well, we never asked God to cover the house. You know, so these, I think these are all pertinent things, you know, to ask God for, you know, and then for the safety and for the people that's around you, let everybody, not just your family, but let everybody be covered. Let everybody have a good time. Let everybody serve the purpose that it was designed for them to go to have the church. Some folks just needed to relax. So let them relax. Let them have fun. Let them do what they wanted to do, all clean and safely.
Okay. Good stuff. Brother Al, we're talking about the workplace. We're praying for God to cover us and, you know, help us at our workplace. What are we asking God for?
Oh, boy. The job I got, boy, I pray every single day. speaking on my job, I pray for the children. You know, I pray for, you know, the children that may be going through some things at home, and school is only the safe place for them. The children who don't have no food, and when they come to school, that lunch or that breakfast is their only meal for the day. I ask God to cover the teachers who have to put up with the different kids who got issues, and pray for their family. I pray for the principal who, you know, whatever goes down that school, he's responsible for, you know. So I ask God to cover the whole building, brick by brick, from foundation to the roof, you know, just rid the enemy out and come in and just redo the whole place. So those are things I pray for every single day when I go to my job.
Amen. Come on, Pastor KL, what are we praying for when it comes to our workplace?
Well, you know, I work in retail, so this is a hot season. So I pray, you know, that one, you know, that there's covered. My employees are covered. You know, we just had an incident 3 days ago where someone got shot in one of my stores was actually 10 minutes away from me, all because somebody wanted a toy that another person wanted. So it's just ridiculous. You know, I pray for that kind of protection. You know, people might think that's kind of generic, but when you see, you know, the retail is hard right now. You know, I pray, you know, for even some of my people who have lost loved ones. You know, I pray for depression. You know, I have one on what's it called, anti-depression pills. You know, but if she don't take it, she at a low. You know,
right.
So she forgets to take it. She's really, really down. So I have to continue to keep my people in prayer. I have to continue to keep the customers in prayer, because you don't know what they're going through. You know, so
Amen.
You always want to have, you want, you know, you ask the Lord, give me something positive to say, you know, that can uplift somebody. Because at any point, they could be on the edge. And at any point, they what you say can affect whether they stay on this side or whether they jump. You know, so sometimes you ask God, you know, give me what to say. Let me be that positive. Let me be that light that can turn things around. You know, mama might have died. You know what I'm saying? Daddy might have died. But help me to let them know that there's still somebody that can be your mother. There's still somebody that can be your father. You know, I can be here if you want me to, if you need someone to talk to. You know, so I think in this season right now, though everybody doesn't celebrate it, it's rough. It's rough, and you need somebody that's going to stand on the wall, you know, to be able, you know, to God our children, to God our soldiers, you know. And I ask God every day, today's Christmas Eve, I ask God just to get me through the day. Get me through the day. It's not and ask him to cover me, because, you know, it's not easy, because I deal with everybody that comes into the store is a spirit. So I deal with these spirits. And I pray that I don't have to take these home to my wife. So I ask them to cover me and guard me.
Amen. Man, amen. And you wanted to leave us with that generic stuff you were talking about in the beginning, man? They would have missed out on all of this stuff here. Come on. Oh, come on, Brother Al. Brother Al, we're talking about when people go to school. For those who attend school, what should they be praying for? The attendees.
Okay. Oh, the attendees, yes.
The children, the students.
Right. It's the students, right. Excuse me. They should be praying to, asking God to let them have an open mind and open ears to hear what is being taught, you know, to be able to comprehend the work that's being given to them, to be able to shy away from the distractions that's keeping them from learning, you know, to be safe in school. There's so much going on with the school, with the threats and the bullying. So they should be praying for, hey, listen, let me stay away from that stuff. Let me stay away from the social media. Let me be able to go to school and just put my phone down and hear what the teacher is saying and learn something today that's going to help me in my future. You know, let me be safe from COVID, being that, you know, social distance don't exist. Protect me and my friends and everyone in the school. I think that's some of the things they should be praying for.
Amen, Brother Al. Pastor KL, you know, for the college students, the elementary students, the junior high, the high school students, what should they be praying for? You know, what should they hope that God, you know, covers them with?
Well, I think that they should be praying that they won't succumb to peer pressure. You know, that they can become a leader and not a follower. You know, that they can go to school for the purpose of learning and not for the purpose of playing or acting like a class clown. You know, I think that they need to be praying that God can take them to the next level, whether that be from the eighth grade to the ninth grade, whether that be from high school to college.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
That God will take them to the next level, and pray that he'll keep my mind focused on this level so that I can get to the next level.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ooh, good stuff, guys. Good stuff. All right. We go to church, whether it's a Zoom meeting, whether it's Facebook, you know, that the pastor is having service on, or whether it's live service. What should we be praying for? Asking God to cover what when it comes to church attendance? Brother Al.
Okay, I'll give it to say you ain't called nobody. Well, excuse me. We should be praying that our pastor gets a good word to give to us, you know, to cover our pastor, the leader of our flock, to have a good word to give to us, to cover the members, you know, because we do all know that sometimes you got the enemy and set that person right in that service to start disrupting. So to just cover the members as well, cover our service, welcoming God into the service to just have his way.
Okay. Amen. Pastor KL.
Yeah, we pray for the pastor that the pastor has a right now word for the flock, for the people. We pray that I can be focused today to hear the word and not only hear the word, but be able to dissect the word and know when the word is for me or not. And if it's for me, let me apply it. You know, sometimes we pray for a word, and then when we get the word, he ain't talking to me. Or now we offended because he's talking to me, you know, and now we want to leave the church. But give me the maturity to be able to lick my wounds, you know, realize that was for me. Let me say ouch, you know what I'm saying, and get a bigger shoe, you know, or you know, saying patch up what was going on or what was going wrong in my life. But give me the maturity to understand the word and to understand what I can do better to please God the more.
Amen, amen, amen. And look what would have missed out on, you know, had we not, you know, delved into this today. You know, we talked about, you know, being misinformed and given a safe, given a false sense of safety. And in traveling on these cruise ships, you know, they didn't divulge, you know, everything. We talked about the airlines canceling all of these flights at the last minute, you know, leaving people stranded. You know, this is why we have to pray, and this is why we have to ask God to cover us, you know, specifically for things. You gentlemen did a fantastic job with pinpointing the areas of prayer and details that we need to cover in each area of our prayer and in our life. And I thank you so much, and I pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Nice way to go into the weekend, you know, figuring out what we need to say. You know, again, you know, when, and I'm going to cover the same thing in my closing, you know, for the food shopping, you know, yes, let's go into the food, into the supermarket. And, you know, I'm going to try to do some separate ones than the gentleman did. You know, one of the things that I'm concerned about is when I see these dogs in the supermarket, you know, what are they bringing into the supermarket? Is the supermarket safe anymore? Is it as safe? You know, people bring in germs too, but I'm sorry, when it comes to dogs, it's an animal. And at one point, they were not allowing you to bring animals into the supermarket because you don't have to go into why. But now because of this mandate of you know, the service animals and, you know, it goes past seeing our dogs and all of this kind of stuff. And again, I'm seeing families in the supermarket with dogs. So why you need to bring the dog in if the whole family is in there? I'm asking God to cover us, cover our food, protect everything around us. I want to hear that about what people bring in. That's not what I already prayed for that. But as an additional coverage, I'm asking God to just cover us from anything that we can't see. You know, that we're not necessarily protected from, you know, as they open up the element to not just people but to animals. That increases the risk of illness and things like that. You know, when we're praying about vacation, you know, again, it was already said, okay, God, I need to go somewhere. I want to go somewhere. You're giving me the ability to travel. So I'm asking you, where do you send me? Because everywhere is not safe. You know, like Pastor Kale said. But you know what? When I go into that hotel room, I'm praying, God, that, you know, but, you know, are the beds taken care of properly? Is the bathroom taken care of properly? Are there, you know, they show you hidden germs and everything, you know, in these hotel rooms. You know, are we protected when we go into the hotel room? You know, that's something that, you cannot see that lurks around. And you don't even know anything about it. You know, Lord, I need you to cover even the people at the front desk, you know, where they're friendly and they act nice. You know, am I going to have to deal with somebody who's had a bad time and now I got to worry about dealing with their attitude? I'm even praying for stuff like that. I'm praying for everybody in this hotel room to observe all of the regulations, because if anybody decides to do anything that they're not supposed to do, it puts all of us in danger. So, Lord, I'm asking you to cover everybody who comes into this hotel, that they not only think about themselves, but they think about everybody else. When we're talking about the workplace, the workplace. Are we praying for the owners and the managers to make sure that we're safe? You know, are all the doors, you know, do they have the bars and things on it that, you know, is the place safe? Is there anything in here toxic? You know, do we work with chemicals or anything like that? Am I walking through an aisle and some nails and screws fall on my head? Yes. I worked in a place where we have to walk through a warehouse. And if somebody didn't put that stuff back properly, the stuff fell. What kind of damage or harm could it cost you? You know, are we asking God to cover the front desk? You know, so that she or he is protected at the front desk, because we've seen people have domestic issues, and when they walk through the door, they're shooting up everybody. We've seen so many times in the workplace, you're not even safe. People go to work expecting to go back to their loved ones, and somebody comes on the job who's angry. Did the manager or supervisor make somebody mad, and now somebody innocent is going to have to pay? Lord, I'm covering that in my prayer. I'm asking you to protect us from stuff like that. Lord, I'm asking you to cover the integrity of this of management. Are they going to pay us properly? Are they going to make the right decisions when it comes to health insurance and life insurance? Is the integrity going to be where, you know, as a human resource manager, are they going to have me compromise something that I know is wrong, but they're going to have me maneuver because I got to protect? No, I'm asking you, God, before I even get there, that you even give them a level of integrity so their lack of does not fall in my lap. And I got to do what I have to do and work opposite. No, I need to be working in tandem. I need to be working in sync with the community, with the powers that be. I don't need to be working against them, and they don't need to be working against me either. That's the kind of stuff we need to be praying for at the workplace. When we go to school, I just got finished telling my babies, when you get on that bus in the morning, say good morning, and I'm praying that we have a safe travel today. Imagine what the bus driver is saying. Imagine what the matron is saying when your 10-year-old, your 7-year-old, your 8-year-old gets on there and they realize that the babies are praying for them. That's what we're sending our children out here into. These people who have been careless driving these buses. Sometimes, you know, they have that thing on the back of the bus that says, you know, if I'm not driving correctly, call. And you're like, yo, I've had to call a couple of times. So you're teaching your children to pray for their peers. Pray that, you know, nobody brings a gun to school. That if something is going on, they speak up and they're not angry or they're not hurt or they're not worried about stuff that now they have to take matters into their own hands. You're praying that when you know how many times they've done research and the food in the school has not been safe. They've had all kind of molding and all kind of things in the cafeteria. Well, that's what our children need to be praying for. They need to remember that when they get their lunch or their breakfast, that this is being prayed over. Pray that your cafeteria workers are aware and alert. Yes, my 7-year-old needs to be praying for that. You know, if we're teaching them not to eat certain things, if they're allergic to certain things, that's what they need to be praying about, that they are alert and aware of the things that they need to be praying, you know, eating. Yeah, even our babies need to be praying when they go to school. Our college children, all of the adults who go to college, need to be praying for the professors to be who and what they say they are, that their level of integrity is on point, that they're not doing something sleazy and sexual. And, you know, now that we got remote learning, that everybody is focused and paying attention and they're not, you know, doing sexual things in the remote learning. This is the kind of stuff students need to be praying for, that they pay attention, you know, and that they grasp all that needs to be had. And if they think that God would send them someone to help them to learn a little differently, because we all had that teacher that, you know, just got stepping. You know, oh, this teacher knows how to break it down. Where the other teacher, at their best, they don't reach all the students. But we do have those students that, hey, you know, they get it. Praying for, and we're praying for church. Man, when we go to church, we need to be praying and asking God to cover everybody who walks through the doors of the church. That even if they've got some level of burden or illness, mentally or emotionally or spiritually, that they don't come and wreak havoc. You know, there were people who have literally said that when they go to church, they were going to be disrespectful, or I'm going to church to approach somebody. That's not what we're coming to service for. We're coming here to worship a sovereign God. We're coming here to praise our Lord. We're coming here to be with like-minded people. And we need to pray that we're all on one accord. That's what we need to be praying for. We need to be praying that although we are all at different levels of life, that we're going through different things, that we would be unified. That God, you just pull this group together. I don't care how vast the difference is, but that the pastor can look into their congregation and speak into everyone's life simultaneously. And that everybody who is under the sound of that voice is liberated once they hear the voice of their leader. That they would hear God in that leader. That there would be no self on that pulpit. That everything that came, that comes from that leader is biblical. That is not based on tradition. It is not based on culture. It is not based on the things that he or she likes or he or she wants, but it's based on factual word of God. That they would not just pick out one scripture and base their entire sermon opposed to be able to give references. Because everybody needs a thorough teaching, not something, you know, slided to one side. Are we praying for the deacons of the house? That they are covering the families, that they're handling the finances properly, that they're watching for the upkeep of this building. Are we asking that? Are we even praying for our ushers? Who is responsible for meet and greet? Who have been deterrents of people walking through the door? Where people could not get the blessing that they were designed to get because the people at the door were the opposition. Are we praying for the kitchen staff that they are being watchful over the way the food is even being served or handled? Are they caring for our food and beverages the way they should be? Are we praying for this building, that this building is in health code? And it's not toxic to anybody. There's no mold or potential fires, or the wiring is not right. There's so many things to give God praise for, and there's so many things that we need to pray about. And no, not this generic prayer, because it doesn't cover the things that we need it to cover. It's too general. And we need to let God know that he is invited into every aspect of our lives, in every particular area of lives he's invited into. Invite God in and make sure you call out every single thing to the Lord so that he can address everything, because he knows you're watching for it. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my gentlemen, for coming in big time for us and sending us into a wonderful weekend. And I want to thank you as our listeners, and we pray that when you tune in, you get the blessing and so much more than you were even anticipating. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Although there is no celebration of Christmas for us, I pray that you have a safe holiday season. It's crazy out here. People are acting much differently. And I pray that God covers you and that you watch be careful and watchful over everywhere you go and whatever you're doing. Please do not let your guard down. Please do not just assume that everything is loving and safe. Go to God and ask him to please order your steps and to cover you in every way you go and in everything you do. I love you.